bless the Lord in any way. We thank God for His goodness, His mercy, and kindness. Amen. How many are waiting in anticipation for what we know God is going to do? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The subject that we're going to deal with tonight, we all have some impossibilities. Amen. Some great challenges, great tests. Amen. Some unseen things that keep coming against us. So the subject that we're going to deal with tonight is, say, anything that God can't do. Amen. Is there anything that God can't do? We have some impossible situations. It almost seems like they're too big even for God. But tonight, our theme is believe in God against all odds. And on Sunday, we went over the fact that these are praying times. When they're praying, there's a right way to pray. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise
Amen. So tonight I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Jeremiah chapter 32. We're going to read verses 15 through 17 and then verses 25 through 27. Impossible situations. Amen. With men, but not with God. Impossible situation with men, but not with God. You know, if we would look at many of our circumstances at face value, and if we were to look at them through the eyes of sight, we would be overwhelmed. But thank God we do not see our circumstances by sight, but we see them by faith. For the just shall walk, the just shall live by faith. If your faith is weak, amen, it's time to strengthen our faith. Because if you don't have faith, I don't care all of your other qualifications that you might have spiritually, the scripture said, without faith it is impossible to please God. And when Jesus cursed the fig tree, and the disciples marveled how fast. Don't we have a fast working God?
Yes.
When the Lord spoke it, they marveled how fast it took place. The Lord simply told them, he said, have faith in God.
Yes.
Right. But if you were to interpret it correctly, it would be have the faith of God. That's what have faith in God means, have the faith of God. So tonight, in our impossible situations. Amen. When you add it up on paper, it is impossible. When you speak to those that are supposed to be the experts, it is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. So Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 15 reads, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now, when I have delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Uriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched thy arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And thou hast said, sit down to verse 25. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God.
Now,
just a little background history on this is on the the tribe of Judah, because Israel had already gone into captivity, been assimilated, amen, had been spread out through the Assyrian Empire, and only Judah remained. And Judah was a gross spiritual decadence. Spiritually, they were worshiping everything but God. Amen. They even desecrated the house of God, bringing in the things that were idolatrous into the house of God. So God had used Jeremiah trying to get his people to change their hearts. Amen. And he told them, he said, if you don't change, surely the king from the north, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, is going to come in and take over this city. So at this time, when Jeremiah is prophesying to them, or in this 32nd verse, as he's giving the word of the Lord, he's in prison. Amen. Somebody said, when you're in prison, how can you encourage somebody else? But when you have a relationship with God, the bars can't hold you down. When you have a relationship with God, hallelujah, there's no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. So Jeremiah is in prison, and he's still trying to reach out to God's people. Anybody God's people tonight? Our God always trying to reach his people. So Jeremiah is reaching out to God's people, but they're in a siege, which means they are surrounded by the Babylonians and their army. They couldn't go in, they couldn't go out. And the prophet was saying, oh, don't worry, God's going to deliver you. And only Jeremiah was speaking that this king of Babylon is going to come in and take this city captive. Amen. And they put him in prison because they said, you are a false prophet. Amen. So Jeremiah is in prison. Now we're talking about an impossible situation, right? When God can work anyhow. So Jeremiah is in prison, and the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah and tells him, he said, your uncle has land. Even though Israel is going to be in captivity for 70 years, he said, you buy the land. Now, common sense speaking, I'm in prison. This city is about to be burned by fire from the Babylonians. Why would I go and buy some land? Right? It just doesn't make sense. But how many know when God tells you to do something, you don't have to figure it out? If God says do something that don't make sense, then you just got to. Mikey must have been reading about the Bible. Yes, Mikey was reading that when they said, just do it. Right? Amen. You don't have to argue or figure out anything. So Jeremiah goes through the process and he buys the land. And you know, everybody was looking at him saying that you got to be a hypocrite. You're telling us that the king of Babylon is going to come in and destroy everything, and here you are buying land. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
That does not make
sense.
But God told him to. Have we ever had some things in our lives and God told us to do it, and to everybody else it just didn't make sense? Amen. But God told him to do it. So he did it, and then as he buys the land, this brings us up to when he had bought the land, he had done the evidence, he had gone and gotten his witnesses, he had paid the money for the land, and that brings us up to where we are now. Now once again, it's ain't anything God can't do. I'm in prison, but I'm gonna buy land, but we're gonna be in captivity for 70 years. That doesn't. But God said, do it. If we don't do anything, the reason we went on prayer on Sunday, if we don't do anything, we might get an ear to hear what the Spirit says to us. Samuel said, Lord, I might not have known you before, but speak, Lord, for thy servant. the air. There are a lot of influences. But which influence is going to influence us the most? So God is speaking to Jeremiah, and it brings us to the 15th verse in the 32nd chapter. That just fills in some of the blanks. So for thus saith the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. And thus doesn't make sense. You're telling us that they're going to burn the city, that we're going to be taken to captivity, we're going to be there for 70 years, but then you say this city will be inhabited again. That seems hypocritical. So he says in verse 16, now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase, he said, I didn't do it in secret. I did it before. He said, but then I delivered the evidence to show that I believe God. And I'm going to do what God tells me to do, no matter what anybody else says, because I believe God against all odds. So he does something that doesn't even make sense. But how many know that when we're being led by the Spirit of God, there are many times things don't make sense. In verse 17, it says, well, led upon to verse 16, it says, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And is there not, there is nothing too hard for thee. He said, I'm doing what you say, but now I got to have a little communication with the Lord. Then he drops down the verse from 17, 18 through 24, gives him more details. Verse 25 says, and thou hast said unto me. So he said, now Lord, I'm in prison. I've said you're going to destroy the city. But you told me to do something, so I did it. And I'm wondering tonight, how many has God spoke to us? And we said we would do it. But somebody talked us out of it. Whether it was another individual or ourselves. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it said it's better to vow, better not to vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay thy vows. Amen. It also said, be not rash with your mouth. A lot of us have made vows to God, but the challenges set before us are making us doubt God. Can you imagine, I'm in prison, I'm going to buy land, every time you turn around they were scourging and beating and just mistreating Jeremiah, the man of God, for doing what God says. How many? Now, I'm so glad not us, but how many coward Christians do we have? Right? Coward Christians. God says do it, but everybody's got their mouth on me. So every time I turn around, somebody says something about me. So I'm just so tired of doing for God. How many of us could be in Jeremiah? We're not talking about a city. We're not talking about a community. We're not talking about a town. We're talking about a whole nation was against him. One man made a stand for God. That's why I always say you and God will always be a majority. But the devil has a way of flipping the switch. And because we can't see God, many times we give up on what God has said because of all the evidences that seems to be against us. But Jeremiah, he says, and thou hast said unto me, O Lord, buy thee the field for money and take. He said, don't do it in private. Don't do it in secret. He said, do it so others will see it. For the city is given into the hands of the. Why would I want to buy something that's going to be taken away? This doesn't make sense. But tonight, if God has spoken something into your spirit, Don't you let nobody turn you around. Don't you let nobody talk you out of what God has given to you when it doesn't make sense. Verse 26, then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah. God knows how to encourage us when we're down. He said, behold, I am the Lord. I'm the God of hallelujah. In your impossible situation, he's still God. He said, I'm the God of all flesh. He said, Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything tonight that God cannot do? Let's go to Ephesians chapter, actually let's go to Romans chapter 4, then we'll come back to Ephesians chapter 3. Is there anything that God can't do? Now, when we look at many of our situations, they are impossible. And if we try to figure it out, we can't even figure it out. Even when we had to purchase this church, it was impossible. But God says to pursue and you shall recover all. So every time we met a closed door, amen, we pursued because God said pursue and recover all. The banker said you're too small, impossible, and nobody's going to take a chance on you. But God said to
pursue.
Amen. And many times when we looked at our numbers, it was impossible. But what did God tell us to do? He said, pursue and thou shalt recover all. Amen. And many times it just seemed almost impossible. Every time they said, well, why don't you raise 40,000? So we raised 40,000. And then we went to the bank. They said, that's not enough. So, okay, well, how much do we have to raise more? They said, raise 60,000. So then we raised 60,000. The Lord blessed us again because we don't know how to get here. Amen. But God made a way for us. And then we got to 60,000. And the banker said, still. Well, how many times can you change how much we got to raise? Right, so, I don't know where this came from. I said, well, we just raised 100,000. Right? And the Lord blessed us for somewhat unexpectedly, just woke up, that's not even a member of our church, but a member of another church, and gave us $20,000. And we didn't go over there and say, you know, the Lord laid this on our heart, and we just sold our house. And the God told us to give you money to help you in your church. And we still haven't told who it is because they asked us to think it's private because they have their own church. So when we got to 100,000, the bank still said, not enough. But we continue to pursue. Because God said, pursue and you shall recover all. And everything we went to said, no, it's not enough. So then we were blessed. I can't use this person's name, but we were blessed. And we got to $125,000. We went to the banker. The banker said, man, $125,000, you raised almost half of your purchase. I said, no problem. I'll just put this into our commercial department and we'll do something. In a week, and in a week, they heard something. He said, Pastor, I just don't understand. But the bank said, not enough. But how many know God told us to what? Pursue. So we're not here because of anything that we've done. But we're here tonight because of what God did. Because of our hatred, we didn't have enough. Amen. When you look at the size, we don't have enough. But I heard the scripture say that if God be for you, who then can be against you? instance, is there anything that God can't do? Romans the 4th chapter, this is another impossible situation. I'm just trying to increase our faith. And no matter what the challenge is ahead of you, just believe God. When you believe God, nobody else has to give you anything. You just keep stepping by faith. And that if at one point, one person was so desperate to help us, they even went to the head of their organization, two of them went to the heads of their organizations and said, listen, they're a good church. Let's just give them the money to get them through. Amen. But God didn't work it out that way, because that would have been too easy. What? The first one went, and I'm not using the name for the sake of protecting the innocent. Women said, listen, I want you to give it all to them. Alright, and this person had a pretty good position, but they said, well, maybe in a few years. But I'm just saying, people were working in our favor, but the devil was still fighting. But when you have faith to believe God, you don't let anybody talk you out of it. So I told my wife my purpose. If someone talked negatively, no, I didn't want to be bothered with them. Amen. Because I didn't want to have anyone that's going to try to sway me away from what God said to do. When your situation is impossible and God says do it, then you are to. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 4. Now tonight we're dealing with what? Faith. Now faith is not walking by sight, because if Jeremiah was walking by sight, I'm in prison, I have no hope for release. Why would I buy land that's going to be taken and burned? Just think about that. What sense does it make to buy something? But how many know God always has a ram in the bush? When they went in and took over and Nebuchadnezzar, when God is with you and God tells you to do something, you don't have to worry about a thing. Nebuchadnezzar, when he said, I believe his name was Gamaliel, started with a G, I know, Gedaliah, and said to me, he said, where you go? He said, you get everybody. He said, but you ask Jeremiah, what does Jeremiah want to do? This is the enemy. Right? This is the man in charge of the Babylonian army, Gedaliah. He said, when you get there, ask Jeremiah, do you want to come back to Babylon and we put you in a place of comfort? Or do you want to stay in Judah? That's when you know you got favor. You know you got favor when the attacking general is taking everybody else captive, but God has put a word in his heart. What do you want to do? I'm saying when God tells you to do something, hallelujah, no matter how bad it is, God will give you favor. Even in the midst of adversity, can you imagine flocks and thousands and hundreds and thousands of men taken captive, and they get to the man of God that made a stand for God. Amen. And when they got to Jeremiah, he said, listen, I don't understand why, but they told me to give you a choice. Yes, we're going to take you out of prison. You've been in prison because of you made a stand for God, but they've given you a choice. What do you want to do? Jeremiah said, I already bought the house. So I might as well stay here. Did you think Jeremiah knew it was going to happen that way? He didn't know how it was going to happen. He just did what God said to do. So when he got free, he already had his house. But how did he burn up everything and leave his house? Falling down, and on the house that was still standing was Rahab the harlot. Because when God is moving in your feet, I'm telling them to fall on that side and sit down in our right hand. But I heard the scripture say, he won't come nigh me. Hallelujah. So everything is coming down, but you stand for God. And you have the assurance from God. If you stand for him, everything will come out all around you, but it won't come nigh thee. The scripture says, oh,
want to make a stand for God? If you're going to make a stand for God, the scripture says he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my help, and I will not fear what man can do. I'm just making a stand for God. All right, you stand for God. If everybody in the workplace is acting crazy, you make your stand. Right, if they don't want to do right, you do right. Well, why you want to be just a goody two-shoe and do right? Because I'm a child of God. And I represent God in all that I do. So you don't want to do it, but don't you get in my way, because I'm going to do what's right for God. I know when I worked for GE years ago, they were talking about having one of those, what they have those pickets or whatever that thing is? Protests, you know, the pickets, when they were all getting all crazy. They said, well, if we picket, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to work. Because I ain't going to be in the picket. Because I'm a child of God. They said, well, you know, when you picket, when they picket, you walk through the pickets and you get in trouble. And thank God I never got a chance to find out what would happen. Because they didn't have the picket. But guess what? I would have gone through. Because we're supposed to do what's right in the eyes of God. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore, it is of faith. Tonight we're talking about what?
Faith.
It is of faith that it might be by
grace.
When we walk by faith, then grace is God's divine favor.
Amen.
By grace, to the end, the promise might be sure to all. Anybody been baptized in Jesus' name? Filled with the Holy Ghost, then you are part of the seed. So the promise is sure to the
seed.
Sure to the seed. Amen. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Who is the father of us all? Why? Because of faith. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him who according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed
be.
Now we're dealing again with what?
Faith.
Check. You do a faith check.
Amen.
Examine yourself to see whether you're in the
faith
or not. This is a what I like about faith is not a collective thing, it's a personal thing. But the collection of faith can move around. Right? Individually, it's hard, but the collection can move a mountain. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you don't have to buy a bulldozer, you don't have to buy an excavator, you don't even have to buy earth-moving equipment. If you have faith, just speak to the mountains. You know why a lot of our situations are not changing? We have faith, but we won't speak to it. When the Bible says life and death are in the power. Now we use our tongue for a whole lot of the wrong stuff. But why don't we start using our tongue for the things that we can accomplish by faith? He said if you speak to the mountain and don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things which thou sayest shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever if you don't doubt. So we're trying to encourage our faith. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. He said, listen, now that means there is no possibility for me, Abraham, to father a child. Because that portion of fathering a child is dead. So this is what you call what?
Impossible.
Are you with me? He said, my body is now
dead.
Not a physical death, but the life-producing part of my body is no longer vibrant. It's no longer there. Amen? And when he was about 100 years old, neither. So you got two dead people believing God for a miracle. Two dead people believing God for a miracle. Now, the situation with dead, which means it is
impossible.
Somebody said, well, how can that be impossible? You get somebody's 100 years old and somebody's 90 years old today. Are they going to have a child?
No,
they're not going to have a child unless it's a divine miracle. Right, so his body's dead at 100. Sarah's body's dead at 90. But they hope they get hope. God said, we just read, he said, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for God? He's the God of what kind of flesh?
All
flesh. Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promises of God through. Now, this is his body as impossible as it can be. But he still believed God, but was, if you don't do anything else. There was one time when the disciples knew they weren't where they should be, they said, Lord, increase our faith. That should be our cry tonight. If you know, and you know, if your faith is where it ought to be. When your faith is where it ought to be, even when the doors are closed, you say, I don't worry about it because God got another door he's going to answer. Open. And the Bible says in Revelation, God will open a door that no man can close. So if God has made you a promise, if that door is closed, the reason it's closed is because that's not the door that God opened. Because in faith, when he opens the door, he says, when you get to the door that I've opened for you, no man. Because God said, I opened the door. Amen. He said, I have the keys of David. I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. You know what he said? He said, Eric, I got control of everything. So if you're walking in faith, don't you doubt God. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
But with strong faith, giving glory to God, and being
fully persuaded.
He wasn't just a little persuaded.
persuaded. He was what?
Fully
persuaded that what he had, he was able. I wonder tonight, how many of us are fully persuaded? Right? I would give you a test that I went through recently, but I was fully
persuaded.
And I ain't going to give you details, but I was fully
persuaded.
No details. Details, no. When I went back, it was with one of my doctors. I took him a thing. I said, you know, I was praying. I said, you know what, Doc? I did tell him this. You tell you, I told him. True story. I said, Doc, I said, you know what? You had me go through all these tests and stuff, but God showed me something. He said, what God showed you? I said, God showed me that he did this for your faith. He didn't do it for me. I said, while I was praying, and God told me that your faith is weakening or failing. So God took me through all this to increase your faith. And all he did is he looked at me and he said, He didn't say it wasn't true. Right? So I said, you know what? No matter which way the test turned out, God is still in control. So I don't know if you're gonna come. I said, here's a flyer and here's our card. We have our anniversary next week. You come and get your faith encouraged. I said, because your faith is more weak. He said, well, I'm going to email you something. I said, I already told you, don't email it to me. Bring it when you come. Email sounds like you ain't coming. So when I was leaving, he said, well, I'm going to email it. No, that's right. I bring it when I come. So who knows? I said, we don't have too many doctors in the church anyway. We'd be proud to have you come as a doctor. We got nurses. We don't have a doctor yet. But nevertheless, God, a lot of times, will use our circumstances to help encourage somebody else. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to read, I got to get some other scriptures. Let's just go to verse 20. You know, it's a scripture we all know. You can also read the other part. Verse 20. Now the question again is, if there anything that God can do? A lot of us have given up on dreams. A lot of us have given up on things that we, look at somebody and say, you know God told you. He was going to do that for you. So why did you give up? You know God told you. God spoke to you. Why are you giving up? Amen? I'm not talking about you had a bad dream because you ate pizza with pepperoni and sauce and you went to bed. I'm talking about God spoke to you while you were in your secret closet. And God told you what he was going to do for you. But all of a sudden now you don't believe God. Amen. There's a lot of voices. And the devil will use sometimes the closest thing to you to make you doubt God. Right? What did he use to get Adam? Eve. The devil will use the closest thing to you to get you to disobey or to doubt God. But can we believe God in spite of it? Verse 20 says, now unto him that is. Wait a minute. He is what?
Able.
Let's stop right there. Able means there's nothing that he can't do. Now unto him that is able to do
exceeding.
Look how he builds this up to show you what our God can do. Exceeding abundantly. some down south, we're going to say with mama. Y'all can be mother. What the mamas did, what our daddies did, our grandmamas, our granddaddies. I'm just saying, you can't keep going all that. What did God do for you?
Yeah.
We're talking about your faith.
Yes.
All right? So if you can ask it, God will. He will exceed it. If you can think it, God can. He will exceed it. God's not going to stay in the realm of your mentality because I'm God. And I can exceed everything you think. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We're dealing with God now. Jeremiah said, you made the heavens and the earth. He said, Lord, you did everything. Is there anything God can't do? Listen, and when he made the earth, he made all of this out of nothing. Everything you see came from nothing. If God can make the universe and things are millions of light years away and he made them out of God, thank you to my little situations. Because I know you can fix it for me. Isaiah 40 verse 21. Now what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about faith, we're talking about God, right? We're not talking about what I can do, because I am limited. We're not talking about what you can do. We're not even talking about what a wall in Congress can do. Because all they can do is mess up.
Come on.
I'm just telling you the truth. Anytime you want to pass some crazy bill, marry the same people, they messed up. But nevertheless, we're talking about what God can do. Verse 21 says, amen. He said, then bring it out.
For that he is strong in
power.
Yes, Lord. He weak, but God is strong. And not one. We're talking about a God that can do anything. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
He said, why say thou, Jacob, and speak of those Israel? My way is hid. God said, I'm trying to help you out. You don't think God sees and knows what you're going through? My situation is bad. Nobody understands. God said, your way is not hid from me. I know everything that you're going through because your way is not hid. He said, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou? Have you not known? Hast thou not
heard
that the
everlasting God,
the Lord, the creator of the end of the earth? Your situation won't make God faint. Your situation won't make God quit. Though impossible it may be, God says, I'm not going to faint because I'm God. And there's none that you can liken me unto. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
He fainted not and God won't grow. I'm like a God that don't suffer or sleep.
Thank you.
So the land is filled with lice, and and all of this outside stuff. Say, Lord, just speak a word. Lord, just speak into my situation. Lord, I just need you to move by the finger of God. Because when the finger of God moves, you are guaranteed, assured one thing, there's not a man that can duplicate that miracle. You understand? When God moves in a special way, and it's the finger of God, no man can reproduce. It'd be just like the magicians. They said, we've done a whole lot, but this is, as we all say, tonight, is there anything that God, and in order for God to do it, all he has to do is speak. Believe God. Whatever God has told you, believe. Even though you don't see it, it don't make sense that I'm going to buy a house and I'm in prison and they're going to burn the city and nothing's going to be here. But I'm just going to do what God tells me to do. Tonight is time for us as a people of God to believe God. Stop listening to yourself, right? Because our biggest enemy is us. We have talked to ourselves out of more blessings because of doubt. Believe God in spite of, no matter what anybody says, you can just say, well, that's what you said, but what did God say? In every last one of our situations tonight, we know what people have said, but my question to you is, what has God told you? Amen?
Oh, yeah.
All right. As the elders and ministers come forward, and the evangelist first lady, amen.